For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, back with another weekly look at the world of non-league football. No cup competitions this weekend, it's all about the league. Some technical issues means a slightly shorter show and slightly later than usual, but no less insightful, hopefully. We start off by talking to Russ Penn, manager at Kidderminster Harriers. Promotion via the playoffs last term, but currently bottom of the National League, surrounded by their fellow promotees. Small margins to success. He's confident he will find the answer in the coming weeks. Editor-at-large of the non-league paper, Matt Badcock, winds up the show with this week's news and a preview of this weekend's non-league paper. Plenty to come, so sit back, relax, and let's get matters underway. Now, the National League, as we've mentioned, is still a very tight affair from top to bottom. Interestingly, the four clubs currently in the relegation zone are the same clubs promoted from National North and National South last term. Is it proving hard to adjust to the next level, or is it just small margins? Let's find out from old friend of the show, Russ Penn, manager at Kidderminster Harriers. Welcome back to the Non-League Football Show, Russ.
Thanks, guys. Thank you very much.
Well, it's good to get you on. 21 games in of the 46-game season in the league. Is it everything you expected or more?
Oh, it's definitely more. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say, we've been unlucky. You know, we've been disappointed and poor at times, but also very competitive. And I think the step up for the National North has been really, really big, greater than what I expected. But this is the league we all want to be in. So, it's been a big learning curve.
Yeah, I mean, you did promotion the hard way last term via the eliminator playoff, the semi-final, and then the final.
Yep.
The scenario might be different, but I sense there will have been lessons learned that you will be pulling upon now on and off the field to get clear of this drop zone.
Yes, for sure. And the work never stops. I think we've been educating ourselves throughout the first half of the season. People can say, look, how was your recruitment? I personally think it was okay, but could have been better. But proof's in the pudding in 25 games' time. If we have a really good second half to the season, nothing gets talked about the first half. You learn your lessons and you move on. So, and that's what we're looking to do.
Yeah, and a big couple of games coming up. On Saturday, you travel to Oxford City. You were, fourth from bottom at the moment with you in a basement spot. But 5 points of difference, 5 goals of difference. A win for you, though, makes a massive difference all round.
I think when you look at our next 5-6 fixtures, we've got Oxford, Ebbsfleet, Maidenhead, Boreham Wood. I think five of the teams in the bottom seven. I think these are the games that you've got to look at to try and get a good points return. The teams that we're playing will be saying exactly the same. 6-pointers, if you want to call it. So, listen, there's points there for grabs. We've got to be looking to get them, as many as we can.
Yeah, and I've seen some of your post-match interviews, and as you say, you've been disappointed, maybe not got everything you'd expected from the players, but you're still, as ever, you're Russ Penn, the most positive manager around.
I wish my wife said that, but no, listen, we've lost 10 games this year, which is more than enough already. 8 of those we've lost by 1 goal. We're not far off. We're really competitive. We're not scoring enough goals, which can take the pressure off, you know, our back line and steer us clear of where we are at the moment. But listen, we are where we are, and we're going to work hard. And I know this group's good enough. We're going to try and add faces, and we've got to be better going into the second half of the season. Because if we are, we'll have a right good chance of staying up.
Yeah, and goals you mentioned there, probably your biggest hurdle this year. Just 13 in 21 league games. Is it a case of less chances and also the need to be more clinical at this level?
I think more clinical because we are creating. We are creating enough chances to win games. You know, if you look at the stats, we're right. I think we're mid-table in terms of chances created. So that's not the issue. It's putting them away. And that's not just my forward line. That's my set pieces. That's free kicks and goals from all over the park, really. So we know we've got to be better. I think we are top 8 in terms of defensive record, which shows you we are competitive. We're not getting blown away by anybody. So I think there's signs there that can show that we can turn this corner. But the sooner the better for me.
Yeah, and I mean, that defensive record you mentioned there, we hear so much about the impressive start to the season of Chesterfield on the top there. And yes, they've scored 50 goals, but in other respects, they've conceded 27. You've only conceded 26. Small margins.
Small margins, mate. Well, you can say great margins when you know what they're paying these top players, your Will Griggs of this world. I'll have Will Grigg any day of the week. But listen, people can say I'd rather win 5-4 than win 1-0, and that's where we are at the moment. It's been a tough reality check for some of our players, but like always, I always try and put a positive spin on. We're not far away, and I'm sure someone's got to take a hiding somewhere around the corner.
And the differences between the clubs, I mentioned there's actually little to choose between all in the division on their day, and you secured a midweek point at home to Hartlepool, who themselves just outside the playoffs, just relegated from the Football League. We know your ability to get sides up for one-off cup games and playoffs, but I guess a season-long battle week in, week out takes resources. Have you got the squad that you can pick from to make that happen?
We've definitely got the squad, I believe. One thing I have learned that I'm not going to... Me and the chairman, we aren't going to wait around and wait for things to happen, because you haven't got time in a football season. You know, we've got 25 games left and we've got to try and win as many of those as we can. You know, ruthlessly, if you're not good enough, you'll be moved on. And if you are good enough, you'll be given a chance. And I think that's the motto of football, really. I don't think it's ever said as harshly as that, but that is the reality of it. We're looking for better always. But whoever's got the shirt at the moment keeps the shirt if they're doing well.
And the reality of football, as we learn week in, week out on this show, is a good relationship between chairman and manager. You just come out of a meeting with yours. It sounds like you're heading in the same direction.
Yeah, I think, listen, there's so much change in football at the moment. I think 35 sackings from Premiership down to National League at this start time of the season. There's only 110 of us, do you know what I mean? Mm. And it just shows you the ruthlessness of the industry. We've been together 3 or 4 years now. We've had a fantastic tenure. And we want to continue it. And I've just, you know, 20 games doesn't decide on my future and the chairman's future. We've got to stick together and work hard to get us out of this trouble. Probably the first time ever we've been in a little bit of a pickle. So, you know, it's up to us now and the players to turn this around.
Yeah, and you mentioned that the tough game's coming up next Saturday, the second... Your host, Ebbsfleet United, currently also in the drop zone. They're one of the leakiest defences in the division, so that'd be an interesting game. But do you get more stats on the opposition at this top level of non-league than you did last term?
Yes, we do. You know, I think everyone's got this software called Y-Scout now, which everyone has in the league, and it's fantastic. It tells you everything the day after. And, you know, it's a great tool to have, really. Pretty sure everyone's got that at this level. So, yeah, it's basically a scout from home, if you know what I mean. So it's great.
What about the rest of the regime at the club? A lot's made of terms like full-time football, but in reality, I mean, how many contact hours do you actually get with the players to get across your tactics, insight and everything you want to get them to learn?
Good point. There's a lot of work going on behind the scenes, but they're still professional footballers. They still need the rest. That's still one of the biggest things in football is rest and recovery. But, you know, we do a lot more classroom-based sessions now, and we try and keep them around the club as much as possible, whether it's to eat and socially adapt to each other. But we run it like any other football league club, to be honest. We want to be in the football league in years to come, and so does everyone else at the National League level. And to do that, you've got to act like a football league club, and that's something we're certainly putting into place at the moment.
Yeah, and Agra, of course, has seen the football league action before. Well suited to tense atmospheres, difficult games. Does that sort of atmosphere, does that heighten you as a manager and get the best out of you?
I think as a manager and as a player, you always want to play at the best stadiums with the best crowds. And I know on our day, we're one of those stadiums and one of the crowds. We've had some fantastic atmospheres in the last 3 or 4 years. And I want more. I want more in the next years to come. So if you are doing that, it means you're partially successful.
Yeah, and away from the league, you've got an exciting FA Trophy tie just around the corner too. Saturday the 9th of December, home to Stourbridge in the third round.
Yeah.
They're struggling in the Southern Premier Central, but they beat Kingsland Town the last round, so they're no pushovers.
No, and it's a great local derby. Yeah. I think there's 5 miles between the football clubs. There'll be a great atmosphere. We're already here, and they're going to bring a large number over. They're well supported anyway. So to get 3,000+ in an FA Trophy third round game is fantastic, really.
Yeah, and the home advantage, that should probably make you favourites. But does it perhaps come at the wrong time when you want to be focused on the league?
Well, I hear a lot of this. Do you want to focus on the league? Well, we haven't got a game in the midweek before. We haven't got a game the midweek after. So I don't rest people. I know how much a cup run can do, what it can do to your league form. It got us to the playoffs last year, 2 years ago, with pure momentum. So we'll be looking to win that game against Stourbridge. I'll be picking my full-strength team. So, you know, Wembley's around the corner, 4 or 5 games away, and that's something that we're aiming for.
Yeah, and being a manager is never easy. There's always highs and lows, and you've probably had more crest of the wave moments than most, and hopefully many more to come. But does February 2020, when you took over, seem a long time ago now?
It seems about 10 years ago. I don't feel I'm getting the crest of the wave at the moment, trust me. But, you know, I know if you stick it out and you work hard, it's always it can always be around the corner. But, when we took over and we had the COVID cancellation that first season, just seems a million miles away now. Telling the lads they're only getting paid on furlough. And you just couldn't believe the world we were living in back then. And it seems bloody 15 to 20 years ago, never mind 3 to 4. So a lot's happened since.
But I sense, even though your league position is not where you want to be, you're still enjoying it?
Yes.
Depends what day I ask you, is it?
Yes, as I'm shaking my head. I love winning games of football, and we're not doing that consistently at the moment, so it does dent you. But I know in football that it's a drug, and when the wind's around the corner, you realise why you're in the game.
And I say it again, you're open to new ideas. Yeah, when the chins are on the floor and everybody's sort of wandering around and need a bit of cheering up, but is there a method that you like to lift spirits with? Do you look outside the box?
You've got to. And I think now with social media and YouTube, and you watch other top clubs' training sessions, you learn a lot from those now. Back in the day, you used to have to follow a manager and go around or go to Spain to watch how the foreigners work. You can see everything within a click of a button now. So I think every manager at the moment has got some great tool sets. And I'm no different. I'm open to anything and different, but I also know what I want myself. I've been relatively successful in the last 3 years, and I'd like to believe that what I'm doing is good, but never, you're never the finished article. I'm so young myself. I've got plenty to learn.
And we're talking now Thursday evening. Is Russ Penn one of these managers that is able to turn his mobile phone off later on in the evening to actually have some downtime?
It will be on the side as I'm watching Celebrity Jungle with my wife and kids tonight, constantly flashing. But no, I've learned from my mistakes 2 or 3 years ago where I let it consume my life. Listen, agents can always wait till the morning. That's what I have learned.
You're a manager, please stay with us. Russ Penn, always a pleasure to speak to you. Thanks for you. I really appreciate your time. Best of luck.
Cheers,
at the weekend and the coming games.
Thanks, my man.
Time then to head on over once again to Non-League Paper Towers, and welcome back to the Non-League Football Show, editor at large at the Non-League Paper, Mr. Matt Bancott. Welcome back, Matt.
Hi, Tim. How are you?
Good. I'm feeling like we're getting through the season. Well, I guess we must start with the FA Cup news that broke Wednesday. I think it was afternoon, wasn't it? But Barnsley, deemed to have played an ineligible player in their FA Cup replay at Horsham, which means the Isimian outfit are reinstated and getting ready for a trip to Sutton United next week in the second round.
They're back in. It's kind of strange. It worked out for Horsham, isn't it? You know, there was all that sort of hoo-ha about the game being moved to the Friday night and under police sort of request. And our Football League paper guy, Chris Dunlavy, went along to the game and he sort of did notice that there wasn't loads of police there. But it was what it was. They shared this 3-3 thriller, got them back to Horsham. That was on TV. And yes, they got beaten, but now they're back in... with their away trip to Sutton because of the which is kind of if it was a rare thing, a Football League club falling foul of the rules. I mean, we see kind of, I think we see it every year basically in non-league, don't we? Some, you know, in one of the competitions at least, and so often in the FA Cup, and we always, you know, feel for the secretaries, and I guess this sort of goes to show farm clubs can fall foul as well, and mistakes are made. Obviously, unfortunate for Barnsley, but on this occasion for Horsham, back in, and you kind of, the way it's kind of being written for them at the moment, it does make you wonder, you know, what will happen on something. You know, got a lot of time for the people down there, and it's probably one that they've gone from having Barnsley at home, thinking, you know, nothing to lose, to having, you know, it's a great opportunity themselves to get into the third round hat, and you know, massive banana skin turning up, and the way Horsham approached that game up at Barnsley, you know, scoring three goals against a League One side, you can't imagine they'll be going to Sutton with any fear. They'll be going to do the same thing, and almost not had much time to think about it either, have they? So it'll be a fascinating game, and can they get into that third round hat along with the others who are going to be trying next week?
Yeah, and I think it says you know, so much. You mentioned about, you know, who'd be a secretary. I think I say that almost every week, don't they? But it can happen. But I think it says so much about Horsham, the way they played those two games, the way they hosted Barnsley when they came for that replay. The fact that the Barnsley chairman, I believe, called Horsham to give him a heads up in advance, and has wished them well since as well. It's very easy to be bitter, I guess, isn't it, for these administrative errors? But it seems that, you know, that Barnsley will be giving Horsham all their backing in this second round.
Yeah, and fair play to them. Like you say, they've kind of held their hands up, haven't they? The mistake's been made, and they've kept Horsham in the loop to help them. And you know, kind of the words from Horsham after, you know, it was announced as well were nice as well. You know, they wished Barnsley all the best, was in their league interests, but you know, it's nice to see kind of that respect as well, isn't it? Being two clubs that are kind of thrown together this season in this great competition, and kind of what sort of come out of that. And so it's not nice, you know, it's not how people, you know, how you'd want it to be done, how you'd want it to, you know, how you want to get into the second round. We want these things done on the pitch, but unfortunately it does happen.
It does happen, and you know, it's there's always a story in these FA Cup competitions, also in all the other cup competitions as well. And cup competition news this week was, of course, the latest FA Trophy draw, and indeed the playing of some of those matches that were lost to the weather last weekend this week as well. I think, is it just five games from Wembley now for the clubs involved? That almost sounds real, doesn't it?
It sounds right. If you say it's five games from Wembley, Tim, I'll take your answer. It does, yeah. Now, I think kind of now the National League clubs are in as well. You know, you're going to get into the thick of the competition. So one more round before Christmas, and then it will return in the new year. And I think we say it every season that, you know, clubs have different priority, different, you know, different focus. But for so many, it's such an unbelievable opportunity to get to Wembley, and it's not all that far away, even at this stage. So plenty of big games. I think we've seen all those shocks in the last round. I think it was 16, wasn't it? Step two clubs knocked out. And there's, you know, there'll be some more shocks to come, I'm sure. So, yeah, fascinating one coming up.
Yeah, well, no cup action this weekend. So the focus obviously on the league stuff in the National League. Well, we saw that Chesterfield aren't fallible, I guess, last week, didn't we, on that TV game at Southend United. Again, if you were looking for a story for Hollywood to write about one game, maybe it was that Southend United Chesterfield game. The Southend struggling to put a team out with those international call-ups. What they have, just two subs on the bench in front of a crowd of over 8,000, go behind at half-time, and they win it 2-1. I mean, it's Roy of the Rover stuff.
Yeah, I think it's Southend. Just when every time you think that, you know, this is one thing too many to overcome, they go and do it again, and that's a testament to Kev Mayer and his side down there. You know, with that 10 points back on, they'd be sixth in the league, right in the thick of the playoffs. So, as you said a few weeks ago, you know, the fact they sort of were able to turn around that deficit so quickly, like obviously you already got off to a decent start before the points had come off, but it kind of never felt like they're going to be in that jeopardy if everything off the pitch is kind of straight. I think about 8 points, looking at the table now, 8 points off the playoffs today. So, and with a superior goal difference, so that's it's definitely on for them. Results like that will, you know, only continue to inspire belief among the fan base, and you can kind of sort of get that real sense of how this whole situation has really united fans and the squad and Kev Mayer's side. You know, he's obviously been there as a player and he knows all about it, but you can feel how behind the management and the players the fans are, and that can only be a good thing going forward for when the takeover is kind of all finally through and I'm done. But Chesterfield, yep, bounced back on Tuesday, didn't they, at Woking, and then with Barnet losing last night against Oldham, I went along to that, and you know, they've opened up an eight point gap now, the game in hand, and it's looking they're clearly going to be the ones to catch, but I'm pretty sure the way they're going at the moment, they won't be letting anybody get too close to them.
Yeah, well, Chesterfield now, what you say with that game in hand, they've played 20 games out of the schedule 46, and they've already got 50 points on the board. You know, we thought maybe last season couldn't be outdone. Chesterfield are going for it again.
Yeah, it's funny, though, isn't it? How, you know, Wrexham was not scouting last year, and we're kind of all, you know, these two teams that, you know, we've just not seen the like of, two totally different sides as well, you know, the power and the brawn of Wrexham, the football, sort of call it all-out football of Notts County, two different sort of mixes of styles, kind of, you know, forging their way at the top of the league, and Chesterfield were kind of watching them go off into the distance, but the way they strengthened in the summer, signs of Tom Naylor and Will Grigg has undoubtedly made them, you know, huge force, and they were sort of huge favourites at kind of at the start of the season as well, weren't they? And they're really living up to it. Can they wait a moment, certainly on for that century of points, can they go and beat Wrexham? You know, time will tell. They can't afford to drop too many. Well, they've lost two, I think. So yeah, and an interesting stat I think came through Adam Summerton of TNT Sport, as it stands now, show the way the league is, at Chesterfield they conceded 26 goals, Kidderminster down at the bottom have actually only conceded one more than them, so that sort of shows how by the National League is sometimes, and also the importance of those goal scorers and someone to stick the ball in the back of the net.
Yeah, those goal scorers are worth their weight in gold, and probably a lot more as well. You mentioned you were at the Barnet Oldham Athletic game midweek. Oldham Athletic now under Mickey Mellon's guidance, he's had a very positive impact already.
Yeah, I think it's just over a month since he's taken over now. It's always going to take that little bit of time, but you know, Barnet didn't sort of see that coming, the scoreline in some parts of the game. Barnet weren't, you know, terrible, and they got back into the game, but there's kind of Oldham just sort of clicked in that sort of second half, and James Norwood, who's obviously had success in this league and been around it for a long time before he went on to Ipswich and Barnsley and a few years in the Football League, kind of looked, he was in the groove last night. He scored two and assisted the other two as well, so you can sort of feel that it's kind of when those early stages of that momentum that builds behind some certain clubs, and Mickey Mellon in there, obviously knows exactly what it takes to get out of this league. You've got Gary Brabin on his staff as well, and again knows the league inside out. And there's that real sort of wealth of knowledge there on those sidelines that's going to hopefully, from the fans' point of view, push them forward. And they're sort of sneaking up on those playoffs now, only 2 points outside it. And I'm sure there's a lot more to do. But talking to James Norwood afterwards, he kind of said, getting that sense that, we're moving in the right direction now, and you wouldn't bet against them getting in those playoffs.
You wouldn't. And we've mentioned how tight so many of the divisions are, with many of those divisions already nearing the halfway mark. But as far as I'm aware, I'm looking across and the sort of tapping into various statisticians across steps 1 to 6. There is now only one club who still have their 100% record. With having won all of their league games, and normally we have a few of them, don't we? But at the moment, it's the combined counties Premier South, Farnham Town played 12, won 12, boasting 36 points. Is that maybe a sign as well as to how close all these divisions are?
I think it's a sign that when managers always say anyone can beat anyone, sometimes it's actually true, and it's not that sort of cliche, but certainly, as you say, Farnham at the moment, nobody can beat them. Can't even get a point off them. Couchy did a piece for the paper a few weeks ago, and they talked about how it's, one of the secrets behind it is they don't train. But in the week, so it seems to work for them. Sort of the most amazing part of that story was that it didn't curse them. As soon as we're in the paper, do a piece in the week. You go to the Sunday, and you look at the result on the Saturday before we go to press, and you see they've taken a defeat and ruined everything. So, but they didn't do that, and they still haven't. I think they did have a late winner against Sandhurst not long after that. But club is really growing on the up, Farnham. The crowds are booming. They've sort of had an influx of new people going there, and they're kind of great social media, all that sort of side of it, and really sort of spreading the word. I even saw when I sort of grew up sort of down that sort of way, and not many people they sort of associated Farnham, kind of a nice little town and a castle. That you might maybe going to have a little wander around, but you wouldn't sort of think it was of the football team. And I saw one of my school friends even went down there the other day, obviously with his lads. They've sort of kind of cottoned on and seen it, and I'm sure his lads been watching it on YouTube, and that's been a big sort of in for a lot of young fans these days, weren't it? Non-league is kind of what they see on what they're seeing on YouTube and those sort of behind the scenes videos and documentaries that are being produced at real high quality. So the club are really on the up, and I think when you're talking about the VARs coming up next week, they've got to be one of the names in the mix to be going a very long way in that competition too.
Yeah, and that social media side of things, that just brought a whole new audience and a different audience as well to non-league, and hopefully bringing the next generation of fans coming through. Which is, it's good news, because normally, every week we're discussing maybe clubs on the brink. Not too much of that this week, thankfully, but again, plenty bubbling under, I'm sure. Some news this week: Nuneaton Borough. We mentioned last week about their Stockport County fans maybe saving them by buying tickets at a game that they didn't go to. This week, they've announced new owners in the form of David Anderson and DA Capital, and I believe no relation of a certain man of the same name from these waters. But another development of maybe hopefully a club that have been looked so close to the edge that maybe might see brighter future ahead. To be a fan of a non-league football club is probably it's probably not the best advice from a doctor to go and follow a non-league football club to keep your blood pressure low, because there's highs and lows and very little in between.
Yeah, definitely. Especially for some clubs, seem to have more stress than others, don't they? And I think perhaps the beauty of non-league football is that, if you have a club where you can get involved and kind of be part of it, then you can kind of be in you have an influence on how things are, and you know, we're seeing so many more people kind of do that and want that, and different, you know, clubs. I think this feels like a shift in the way they're being run. But again, the way football is at them in this country, it does feel sort of very fragile at times. As we so often see, you know, we've seen more and more teams pulling out of leagues, haven't we, during the season. It kind of felt like that used to be like really quite rare, whereas it seems to happen a lot more. You know, that's just anecdotal, I'm not, you know, any evidence of that, it's just sort of a general sort of feeling around it. But yeah, hopefully if you can get the right club, get involved, or, you know, just have a nice calm experience, then I think you're doing well in non-league football, because it's yeah, very stressful for all the wrong reasons, when you sort of really, you know, get into it to just watch games and enjoy that side of it. So often the other stuff gets involved, doesn't it?
Indeed. I suppose if I say there's highs and lows for fans, you have to feel sorry for the managers, because yeah, we've already felt sorry for the secretaries this week. For the managers, the merry-go-round still moving. We saw Grays Athletic part with Mark Stimpson on Monday, just 4 points on the board in the Isthmian League North. Again, a man that's experienced probably some of the biggest highs in non-league football. The Grays Athletic job, then in comes Darren Manning, who departs Basildon United, who are currently third in that league. We all know the history of Grays and the potential. We're planning a approval for Thurrock's old ground at Ship Lane, but it is still unusual for a manager to give up a playoff spot for a relegation battle.
Yeah, from what I understand, this is kind of Darren's. This is the job for him. You know, his club, I think I sort of saw somewhere that someone else sort of having a chat with him this week, but I saw saying that, you know, he kind of grew, he watched them. He stood on the terraces. He's been involved there, and it was one of those clubs that he couldn't ever say no to. It's kind of like a dream job for him. And I think, you know, going back to sort of Stimmo, you know, he'll be back in the dugout somewhere soon and winning games of football. And it's a shame the way it's panned out, because it was kind of this romantic return of the club that he had so much success at all those years ago, and the trophy back-to-back wins and everything like that. And it's obviously a different club now to what it was then, but they got into the playoffs last year and missed out, and it hasn't been happening for them this season. But I actually saw Basildon a couple of weeks ago on a Tuesday night at Bury Town in the Isthmian North. It's sort of this wacky game. I think it was 5-1 at half time, finished 6-2, and they were really good. So one of the best goals I'll probably see this season in the first half, a sort of a long range great strike that crashed in off the underside of the bar, which always makes everything look makes those long range goals look even better. But they're a really good side, and I really enjoyed watching them. And you can see, you know, obviously the emotional attachment for the club and Darren Manning. You could also see kind of, you know, why they would want him as well, because they play some good football, Basel, and they're a good side. And sometimes I think in football, yeah, these chances come along and you can't turn them down. And a tough one for Basildon, but I'm sure their position in the league and the fact that they've had such a good sort of opening part of the season, there'll be plenty of managers who will fancy taking in and going in there and trying to run with it.
Yeah, plenty of managers out there that have been warming their hands, ready for this cold spell and a new role. I mean, not too many big changes this week. Changes lower down in the pyramid. Joe White, the new man in charge at Verwood Town. Diogo Noble has left Windsor FC. Mark Fell departs at Lancaster City. David Dempsey recently left Clitheroe, goes in as the new man at Burscoe. I think the most interesting change, I don't know if you saw this, Matt, or not, Bridgewater United this week, and won't comment too much on it. I think I'll send people to go and have a look at the official club statement. Dave Pearce there, manager for, 7 years, he's fallen foul of the new owner, Ian Davis, it would seem. Obviously, he's a long-serving manager, currently 2 points off the top, I think, and the official statement from the club mentions the new owner and his thoughts, and I think it's something probably worth reading and something to behold, with I think Pierce's assistant Andy Llewellyn stepping up to take charge. But it's It's one of those statements that I think sometimes you just can't make non-league up.
I think that sums it up, yeah. I think probably can't do it justice, but yeah.
You need football. To read it, don't you? It's one of those that...
It's apparently why we love it.
Yeah, indeed. And having had to write some of those statements in the past as well, I feel for everybody involved, but I think it's probably best if you... to sort of do your own delving into the Bridgewater United scenario down there. While I've got you on, but before we wrap up, I should offer congratulations to all of the non-league paper for another gong, of course, a silver award in the Football Content Awards for best in non-league editorial. Is that the correct one? Of course, gold would have been great, but you've got to give the opposition some chance to shine through too as well.
Well, and the silver matches my hair as well, which is... 100% been accelerated by the 12 years, whatever it is, I've been at the paper. Might even be longer than that. Can't even count now.
I think I remember you without grey hair, actually.
I look back at the picture, I thought I was grey, and I looked at that and think, well, actually, maybe I wasn't. Now I'm free. I really am, yeah. That's, again, the stress of football. This game that we're all sort of in love with for whatever reason, we sometimes question ourselves. But nice to get recognition. Lots of I think it's sort of all these sort of awards and nominations and events that go on. I think that just shows they just highlight how much great stuff's going on in football generally, but also in non-league football. You know, you look through how much it's come on, how much is out there now, how much resource, how much info, how much good stuff people are doing, and that's only a good thing for the game and growing it, and certainly behind so much of the interest and the boom, particularly since COVID, that we've seen. And that feels like that was a kind of a big marker point as well, COVID, and sort of embracing new technologies and all that kind of stuff that's allowed so many things to develop from there. So yeah, nice to get some recognition. That's obviously not what we do it for, but it's always nice to get a pat on the back every now and then.
What you do it for is for everybody to pick up the paper on a Sunday. So it's league focus this weekend, so I guess you've already planted your big reporters and a big photo stories out there. Plenty of action then to be reported on. Anything else we can expect to read about in this weekend's non-league paper?
Well, yes, I did spend the first couple of days of the week convinced it was the FA VARs this week as well. So it sort of seems weird to have a normal week, so to speak. I'm sure it'll be far from normal. Everything that will go on, but plenty in the paper as usual. That obviously lots of live action, lots of big games. We've got the fallout from Horsham back in the FA Cup. We've got some FA Cup previews with Barnet taking on Newport next week. Mason have got Barrow. Alfreton obviously got their game against Walsall, and York City kickoff against Wigan at home on the Friday night. So plenty of FA Cup stuff going on. I was caught up with Brian Dutton, a Salisbury manager who's absolutely flying at the top of the whites there, going well at the top of the Southern Premier South, club trying to climb back up the ladder. We've also got a piece with Alex Bruce, who's not long gone in with at Macclesfield, but having a great start since he's taken over. I think that was probably one of those appointments where a few eyebrows are raised. Someone obviously has played at a high level and is he's obviously Dad's well known for all he's achieved in the game, and he's coming at Mac and had a great impact, and all credit to him and his staff. So there's that in there. I've also caught up with, as I mentioned earlier, James Norwood after Oldham's game last night, and I was talking to him about how his role's sort of now. He's now become one of the older statesmen in the changing room and passing on advice to younger players. So plenty in there, lots more as well, and hopefully some good football to talk about on Saturday as well.
Well, we look forward to reading all about it once again in the non-league paper. Thanks for all your help. Speak to you again very soon. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Tim. Take care.
And that is it then for this week. A stressful week. Apologies for the techie issues and the delay. Hopefully you will stick with us and we'll be back to full fitness next week. Thanks as ever then to all of my guests. A big thank you to everybody for listening. Don't forget you can follow us, get involved on social media at Non-League Show, myself there at Tim Fuel, F-U-E-L-L. And as ever, you can find us every week on Audio Boom, on Apple Podcasts, also Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, CastBox, iHeart, Geo7, Listen Notes, Overcast, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Radio Republic, via your smart speakers, and all good podcast aggregation sites. Stay safe, enjoy your football, thank you, and goodbye.
J-I-B-B-A-J-A-B-B-A.